They had a guest in their new home, and they weren't quite sure what to do about it. Frank Graysberry and his family had moved into the house in 1972. It was in a beautiful wooded area of northwestern New Jersey, just east of Philadelphia, known as Rancocas Woods. We don't know much about the house itself, but the events of 1972 have left more than enough memories for any family. After moving in, the family immediately noticed that the lights flickered, objects would be found in new locations, noises filled the space without any visible explanation. None of the children confessed to it, and it certainly wasn't Frank or his wife Mary. Things were just moving. And that wasn't all. Early on in their time there in the house, everyone noticed just how cold the dining room got when they sat down to eat. It was almost as if there was a cold wind blowing through the room, which might not be unusual if all the doors and windows weren't closed. What happened next is a bit of a mystery, and I don't have a good explanation for it, but hey, we're all along for the ride, so let's just roll with it, shall we? At some point, it seems, during one of these chilly dinner gatherings, someone managed to figure out that they could stop the cold wind if they set an extra place at the table. It was almost as if there was someone else in the house, someone they couldn't see, but who really wanted to be noticed, and they had simply been begging to be included, which, of course, caught the curiosity of Frank and Mary, who wanted to learn more. So they hired a team of mediums to come to their home and do an investigation. The Graysberries probably went into it with low expectations. They might have expected to have their suspicions confirmed, that yes, there was a ghost in the house. Maybe they even expected a few details that gave this ghostly visitor some depth, such as a gender or a time period. But what the investigation uncovered was so much more rich and detailed, and it was probably more than a little difficult to believe. The spirit in the house, according to the mediums, was that of a young Revolutionary War soldier. His name was John Dobson, and he'd come from a wealthy plantation family in Virginia. Dobson's role in the war, it seems, was serving as a courier for the American military, and that's what led to his death. The story, at least as it was related to the family by their hired medium, was that Dobson had been given a message for General George Washington in November of 1777. It was an unusually cold and harsh winter, and that made for dangerous travel. Sometime during his journey toward Valley Forge, he camped out for the night and died from exposure. The place where his body lay undiscovered, eventually becoming buried under the ever-changing life of the forest, was right on the land now owned by Frank and his family. In fact, according to the medium, the house itself had been built on top of it, and that, they were told, was the source of Dobson's unrest. The family was skeptical, of course, but curiosity is a lot like the scent of a freshly baked apple pie. Once you catch it, it's hard to let go. So they reached out to historians in the area to see if they could track down more details. After all, they had a name, a rough date, and military occupation. Surely that was enough to uncover more information. And it was. It turns out there were not one, but four John Dobsons serving in the Revolutionary War from the region of the Virginia colony, and the military did indeed run a courier service in New Jersey. It wasn't definitive, but it certainly looked as if they just might be on the right track. Or, of course, it could still all be fantasy. So life eventually went on. Sure, they kept setting that extra place at the table. And yes, things in the house weren't ever really normal. Items would move to new locations. Those lights kept flickering. If it was a ghost, and that ghost did have a message, he didn't seem to have given up. Then, one day, long after they'd moved in, the youngest child, Polly, was overheard humming an unusual song while she was playing with her toys. When Mary stopped and asked Polly what song it was, the little girl told her it was called "The World Turned Upside Down." The song, it turns out, was old. Way too old for Polly to have picked up from a friend or television or even a babysitter. It was from the 1760s and spoke of, well, the symptoms of a world turned upside down. And it was a significant song, too, It seems that when the British general Cornwallis surrendered to George Washington on October 19th of 1781, his troops played that song on their last march. Names and dates and personal details were all intriguing pieces of information. But this, a song no child should know, one from the very same time and place as the story of John Thompson, was a lot harder to deny. Frank and his wife took it as proof, however bizarre and unconventional it might have been, that their ghostly roommate was more than just a story. Things didn't go so well for the ghost. His plan had been to get the house moved off his gravesite, but it turns out he was just too benign of a roommate, too gentle and easily avoided. Even that long-forgotten song was perceived as something enjoyable. In the end, his otherworldly plan failed. The family didn't change a thing about the house or its location, and neither did any of the owners who came after them. And John Thompson, a young man who died lost and cold in Rancocas Woods in the winter of 1777, has remained just as lost and just as cold ever since. His world will forever be upside down.